The Lansing Symphony Orchestra's next Masterworks concert is this Saturday at Wharton Center in East Lansing. Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Haydn, all on the program. Current State's Melissa Benmark talked with LSO Music Director Timothy Muffet yesterday about the music on the program and the cello soloist.
Byun Sang is an extraordinary artist, and he came to my attention through a friend of mine who I had asked. Of course, I knew of Byun Sang, but I was talking with a friend of mine who's also an accomplished cellist in his own right, and I said, you know, who's out there that I haven't worked with yet that I need to? And he said, got to check this guy out. And so I did, and was really thrilled with what I heard and looking forward to having him with us.
The Rococo Variations by Tchaikovsky, kind of the closest thing to a cello concerto that Tchaikovsky wrote. Tell us a little bit about this piece that I know we play it a lot on our air, but I'm not all that familiar with it.
Right. It's sort of the pivot point of this concert, actually. This is a program that looks back and looks forward. Appropriate for January, I thought. So the Rococo Variations are a theme and variations that Tchaikovsky wrote based on a melody from the middle of the 18th century. And both of our other composers on the program, Haydn and Beethoven, have some roots, namely their lives, in the middle of the 18th century. And Beethoven certainly has his artistic roots in that era. Haydn is the root of the classical era. But then all three of these pieces are also very forward-looking in their own right. The Rococo Variations are really, it's a great piece of music, and it is kind of unusual, as you say. It's not really a concerto, and it's not a concerto in spirit. It looks like a concerto because we have a soloist sitting in front of the orchestra and who's doing the bulk of the heavy lifting in the piece. But it has this great mix of moments that you think maybe you're hearing an encore work. It's full of virtuosity and glissandi and harmonics and those kind of showpiece types of things. But then the piece is way more than that, and it's full of the kind of depth and profundity that we also get from Tchaikovsky. And so it's a really kind of a wonderful grab bag of music. And Tchaikovsky, you know, all of his ballets are full of gorgeous cello solos, and it's an instrument that he had a great affinity for, and he really knew how to make the instrument speak and communicate.
That's interesting what you say about the sort of the darker or more rich, mature side of his music, because the very beginning of this really reminds me of his Serenade for Strings, which, if memory serves, was one of his favorite pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. It has. It certainly does have some of those same qualities. You know, Tchaikovsky was very consistent in his style. It's almost as if he came out of the womb with a developed style. That's not to say it didn't develop over the course of his career, because it certainly did, but we do notice, whereas some composers go through phases, there's a certain consistency, so it's not unlikely that you would hear those connections.
Moving to the beginning of the concert, I have to tease you a little bit, because it's Haydn's Symphony number 43 called The Mercury, and I wondered if that was because the mercury is dropping as we speak.
That's great.
But seriously, why did you pick
that? I like that.
43 is not that well known.
No, well, I chose it because it's not that well known. I mean, we've got two blockbusters on this program, the Beethoven 6th Symphony and the Rococo Variations. So I thought the program needed something fresh, and that's this Haydn Symphony 43. I'm sure it will be a first experience live for many of the members of the audience. Of course, Haydn has many great symphonies that get played with some regularity, and I think it's always fun to look at some of those that are not played so frequently, but it's a terrific piece of music. The subtitle Mercury was something that somebody stuck on in the 19th century. As I've prepared the piece, I've, you know, thought about what maybe why it's called that, and There are certain melodic passages that are slippery and might behave like a drop of mercury.
Mercurial.
I don't, but mercurial, thank you. But beyond that, I don't really know, and I haven't researched it. Haydn didn't come up with it, so it's irrelevant to me, frankly. But it is a great, you know, some it does help people remember when there's 104 symphonies out there. There's nothing wrong with sticking a title on there, say the Mercury, or the Oxford, or the La Passione. So it's a wonderful piece of music. It is definitely fresh. I mean, there are moments in the way Haydn approaches phrasing, approaches melodic ideas that are far from sort of default mode classicism. And it's a really beautiful and very exciting piece of music.
Then we go at the end of the program, presumably after the intermission, to Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony. And one of the things about Beethoven, of course, he was such a kind of a crusty person in so many ways, but he loved his nature walks. And I cannot think of really any other piece of his where that shows so much in the writing as this one.
Right. Well, this is a groundbreaking piece as well because of its programmatic nature, exactly what you're describing. It's interesting because Beethoven points out in his own writing that this is an evocation of the feelings of returning to nature. So he says this is not a necessarily a sonic depiction. But then he throws in some cuckoo calls, and he throws in thunder, and he throws in lightning. And so
partying peasants.
Right, yeah. So there are some very vivid musical pictorial moments. But there is also just some wonderful exuberance that for any of us that love our time in the country can relate to. And I think that's why for many people, when you ask them, what's your favorite piece of music, they say the Beethoven Sixth Symphony.
It is interesting that he does not seem to have done much else with that kind of specific bi-movement note.
Right.
And I don't know. I mean, do you have a sense of where the pastoral lived with him? Was he proud of it? Did he feel it was problematic? Did he, you know, some composers are real vocal about what they've done that they like or that means a lot to them. It's very personal to them. And I don't have a sense of that with this one.
Well, we just know from letters that he wrote to his publisher that he was enthusiastic about the piece and its writing. And he also is, you know, points out that it is a departure. And not only in the programmatic sense, but the way he handles musical materials in this piece is a little bit different. It's almost as if it's prototypical minimalism in a lot of ways. It's a simple idea. It's a very repetitive piece, but repetitive not in a bad way, in that he builds structures in the music from small ideas repeated over and over, which is what Philip Glass does, right? That's what Terry Riley did and others. But there's a way in which he structures it using dynamics, using instrumentation that keep it moving and keep it alive so it doesn't have sort of a just sitting there repetitiveness. Beethoven would never do that. But it is a different musical style for him. And I do, and I don't know every piece that he wrote, but it does stand alone.
Timothy Muffet, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.
And a reminder, WKAR's Jody Knoll will lead the preview conversation with cellist Beyond Sang at 7:15 in the Jackson National Lounge. The concert starts at 8 in the Great Hall of Wharton Center.